views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you today from cloudy Seattle here at Hubbard Radio on KKNW AM 1150. If you're not listening here in the Seattle area, you may be listening on WBLQ AM 1230 in Connecticut, New York, or Rhode Island, somewhere across the United States on cable radio network, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're joining us from today, you're going to be glad you did, because we're going to be talking about something interesting in a new way that I bet you haven't heard of before. But before we get into that, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio who allows you to hear these conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
Hi, Christine. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
Excellent.
We're
officially into fall now.
We are.
Have you buttoned up the old house and, you know, the kittens, they're probably staying a little bit closer to you.
Oh, they like to cuddle more.
See, I do.
I did open the window yesterday because we had a warm day.
We did, actually, and I think it still wants to hang around for just a little bit. And actually, a good weekend is in store for us. And of course, we want a Hawks win because it's our first season home opener.
Yes.
I'm just a little excited.
We need a Hawks win.
Well, and Cam's back, too. I'm obviously repping the jersey today, too. So our Cam Chancellor, he's back. He's the Lion of the Legion of Boom. He's the Lioness. So, you know, oh, I'm so excited. Oh. I can hardly contain myself. I only have an hour left here, too.
Well, so. And you have to have enough excitement for the
I know, right? For everybody. Yes. I can't hold myself. I want to go in the other room.
You know, what we're going to be talking about today is Tantra for the West.
Mm.
And, you know, most of us think of Tantra in a particular way, and you're going to be sort of getting a much broader perspective on it after you hear our guest today. I'm talking to Mark Allen. He is the New World Library publisher. He's an author of several books, including Tantra for the West, The Magical Path, The Greatest Success of All, and Visionary Business. And he leads seminars. He's an entrepreneur, he's a composer. He co-founded New World Library with Shakti Gawain and has guided the company as president and publisher from a little startup company to its current position as a major player in the independent publishing world. And I have to tell you, we get lots of requests to get people onto the show, and it's funny because, you know, we say no to a whole lot of people. But typically, if it's somebody from New World Library, it's a yes, because we've been very, very impressed. It's kind of interesting. And anyway, Mark also leads seminars in Northern California, as well as, you know, across the internet to reach people all over the world. And I'm really glad to have him here today. Mark Allen, welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show.
Oh, thank you, Christine. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. You know, going into this, before I began reading your book, I thought that Tantra was really just relating to sex. What is your definition of Tantra?
You and everybody else in the West, and it does crack me up that almost everybody in the West, if they've ever heard of Tantra, they think it's sex with some kind of mysticism thrown in, or some form of yoga along with the sex.
Right.
That's what Tantra is. That's what almost everyone thinks in the West. But if you go to study it in the East, I spent 4 years at a Tibetan center, not in the East, it was in Berkeley, California, but it was from a traditional Tibetan lama, and there we studied Tantra. He kept calling it over and over, and he kept calling it the direct path, the direct path to transformation, really, is what he's talking about. Tantra, it was tantric Buddhism. And it took me a long time to figure out what he was talking about and how I could translate Tantra into the West effectively for me. And I realized, well, it was after an exercise one afternoon. One of the first exercises he did with us, I remember, is he took us all down into the basement of the big house we had in Berkeley. Uh-huh. Had no windows. There were about 35 of us sitting in a circle. And he just said, okay, imagine in the center of the circle your mother is laying there. She just passed away. How do you feel?
Oh, wow.
And we spent an entire afternoon going around and exploring grief. Most of us were earlier mid-20-somethings. Most of us had parents that were still vital and alive,
right,
and we'd never imagined them dying.
Uh-huh.
And it was an amazing afternoon where first we went into grief. We just imagined, oh, my mother just died.
Mm-hmm.
How do I feel? And it was a vivid experience. There were a lot of tears. And then we got into that. He said, get into the grief. Get into the grief. What's this grief all about?
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, everything, whether it's every emotion or every object, everything we encounter has its outer, inner, and secret side.
Mm.
And grief, for example, there's the outer grief. Oh, the person is, the outer grief is the outer things are the things you can observe from the outside. Oh, the person is crying.
Uh-huh.
They're upset. Then there's the inner side. How do they feel? Oh, these waves of emotion,
right,
are coming, you know. Then you go deeply into the inner side and you get finally through to the secret. And the secret is the secret of life and of transformation. And what are those waves of emotion? Well, they come and go. They're repetitive, but they come and they finally go. What are they consisted of? It's energy. It's energy in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And you go deeply in, what is that energy? Oh, that's who we are. We're not these solid things.
Right, right.
Buddhism is not a religion. It's really a therapy, and it's totally aligned with modern science.
Uh-huh.
Because it gets into they've chanted for 2,500 years, form is emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
Emptiness is form.
Right.
I'm sure even a few hundred years ago, most people thought that that was just metaphysical weirdness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's totally scientific.
It is,
yes. You go deep enough into our bodies or into anything, and suddenly you're into the molecular and atomic, the quantum level. Oh, it is emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
They got it right. The Buddhists and Hindus got modern science in a whole lot of ways,
mm-hmm,
thousands of years ago through their meditation.
That's amazing. So if through this process you're actually beginning to meet that secret side, that secret aspect of grief in this case, how is that beneficial to us on our path?
Once you get into that grief, I remember we spent hours then feeling the grief and going into the grief, and at some point, and it's called secret, not because anyone's trying to keep it secret,
mm-hmm,
but because it has to be revealed to you.
Ooh,
so
yeah,
when someone else puts it in their own words, which all the great teachers are trying to do all the time, they're
mm-hmm
not trying to keep anything secret. They're putting it in their own words.
Right.
But it's up to us to get it in a way that's really meaningful for us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll try to put in my words what happened, but you go deeply enough into that grief, into the sadness you feel when someone you love passes away.
Mm-hmm.
You go deeply into the grief, and you realize underneath that grief is this wonderful love. You would not feel the grief if you didn't really love them.
Right.
And there's also something eternal and lasting about that love,
mm-hmm,
something that never goes away. Somehow, our love stays. Our love is constant, even though our bodies will someday pass away.
Uh-huh. And that's a beautiful insight. It's almost like you're looking at the layers of, you know, the external, then the attachment aspect of it, and then the everlasting aspect of it within.
Right, right. You finally break through the attachment. At some point, it may take grief for different people takes completely different routes and different times for different people. But at some point, you break through into that, the love, and you come to serenity and acceptance of what is. I heard an interesting thing. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who had endorsed the first edition of this book years ago, she loved Tantra for the West. I had it out for years, and then I've completely revised, and this is a brand new edition.
Right.
But she's the one, she went through the different stages of grief. You know, she had the five stages of grief.
Right.
But late in her life, I just read the other day, she came to kind of regret that she made it sound like everyone goes through the same stages in the same way, because she realized everyone deals with grief differently.
Right.
You know, some move instantly through the stages, through certain stages, and dwell in others, whereas others will spend a long time in one stage. But eventually, the grief will end up in acceptance and love.
And, you know, Mark, having lost both of my parents 16 days apart a few years ago, I got to explore grief, you know, very directly, very personally. And one of the things that I discovered is with the lessening of it, as I became less and less attached, it was almost like the love itself was expanding. It was, I came to a greater acceptance of who they were, who they had been in my life, both the bad and the good. And it was like it helped the love to grow.
Right. So you went inside the grief and finally found the great secret for you, which is that it's all about love. And that's the only important thing. The problems we had with our parents, they fade and become meaningless and unimportant. It's the love we had that keeps on, and we end up passing it on to others.
Beautiful. We need to go to a quick break, but when we return, I'm going to have Mark Allen tell us more about Tantra for the West.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836. 999-9836.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is a complete approach to wellness. Serenity Bliss offers integrated therapies for whole body health, from facials to massage, from laser skin treatments to herbal wellness, from chiropractic care to energy healing. We work with teens who want to put their best face forward, adults of all ages who want to maintain that youthful glow, and anyone who wants to enjoy vibrant well-being head to toe. Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is bringing the European approach to restoring natural beauty and wellness here to the Seattle area. Located on the east side, off the beaten path, yet just minutes from the freeway. If you'd like to experience the joy of relaxation, skincare excellence, and total wellness, then come experience your Serenity Bliss. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. That's SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. Or call 206-229-0086.
But I can't feed on the powerless when my cup's already overfilled.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm speaking today to Mark Allen, and he has manifested a lot in his life, lived very fully. He's a publisher. He's written a zillion books. Zillion, my technical term. The former research statistician gives that number out. And he leads seminars, and he's also a musician. And today we are talking about Tantra, Tantra for the West. Now, Mark, you began to tell us this. I mean, you told us a story about how you began to learn about Tantra, and how did you come to sort of define it more broadly?
I define it now as the spiritual practice of every moment. Or the yoga of every moment of our lives, rejecting nothing. Uh-huh. So it includes sex, yes, which most people, if they think of Tantra, they think of sex.
Right.
But it also includes every other thing in our life. It includes our work, our families, our friends. It includes every emotional state we're ever in. And so even, I think that's why the Tibetan Lama I studied with would have us focus on the difficult emotional states like grief and anger and get into them.
And you know, Mark, I fully understand that, but I think that there are a lot of people who look at the difficulties in life, including, you know, the emotions, as something to either transcend, avoid, hurry past. How does Tantra look at that?
My Tibetan teacher told a very interesting story right near the beginning of my study, too, that just summed all that up. He said, we're all on a path. We're all on our own unique path up the mountain. And across the path grow patches of poison at different places.
Uh-huh.
And he said, in Tibetan, this was a traditional Tibetan story, and in Tibetan, the word poison and so-called negative emotions are the same word. Anger, fear, envy, greed, they were all called poisons. And they think they literally poison the system, which is very interesting. So we're all on our path. And he said, a monk or nun comes up the path, sees the poison, and immediately goes the other way. And that's the perfect path for them. Some people, they see the negative emotion and immediately turn the other way, avoid, go the other way. That's a perfect path for some people. And he said then the spiritual type, he called the bodhisattva, the person meditating for not only their own enlightenment, but the enlightenment of all beings. They come up the path. They see the poison, and they plow right through the poison and go right on up the path. And that's their path, and that's a wonderful path. Then he said the path of Tantra. The tantric yogi comes up the path, sees the poison, and immediately goes off the path and into the center of the poison. Into the center of the poison. He said, that's the direct path. Because you're not avoiding it, you're not just plowing through it, you're getting right into it and really getting inside of it. And Benny talked about outer inner secret again. Mm-hmm. You get into every emotion you feel. If you feel frustration, what's that all about? If you feel anger, what's that all about? Really get into that anger. Get into it alone so you don't hurt anyone else.
Right.
Go pound your pillows if necessary, which is a good practice I mentioned in the book. Whatever emotion like that you get into, you realize, first of all, it's based on fear. Okay, what is that fear? Uh-huh. Underneath anger, underneath greed, underneath all of them is fear. Mm-hmm. The book, The Course in Miracles has it exactly right. They say all of our emotions are based on either love or fear.
Right.
So we want to cultivate those that are based in love, of course. We want to get into our hearts. That's a perfect, wonderful path in itself right there. And if other things arise that are based on fear, we get into it deeply. We examine it. We confront it. We have a dialogue with it. What am I afraid of? What? Why is this frustrating me? Why is this irritating me even? Mm-hmm. What's this anger that's arising? Well, it's based on fear. What's this fear? Well, you go into it and into it. Well, it often you get down to a fear of death. Okay. A fear of pain. Yeah. Okay, what's our fear of death? What's our fear of pain? Everyone's going to feel pain. Everyone's going to die. You get into that. Why do you fear death? Well, it might be long and painful, uh-huh. You know, and it might really hurt other people, or I might be alone. Okay, what's that fear? What's that fear of being alone? You keep going into it, and at some point, you'll have this breakthrough. There's outer, inner. You go into the inner deep enough, mm-hmm. you'll realize the great secrets, the great teachings that your anger and your fear and your frustration have to teach you.
Right.
One phrase I came up with is, in our darkest moments, our brightest treasures are found.
I love this
path, in a way, it's all about transformation. It's all about very concrete therapy. Uh-huh. It's very good therapy, how to live a more fulfilled life.
So,
and you do that by going into everything and then discovering its meaning for you.
Right.
And it is those darkest moments, our most difficult times. That's where we have our spiritual breakthroughs.
Yes.
It's not when we're having a good time with family or friends, or we're working on something that engages us,
uh-huh.
or we feel good. That's not when we have our great transformation moments. No, those moments that change our lives come when we're deeply anxious or depressed or mm-hmm. frustrated or whatever it may be.
Right. And, you know, I think that there are people out there who understand this to a certain degree, but they still have this concept that you go into it, you go into the center of the poison so you can get to the other side. Can you have that perspective and actually process that stuff within the poison properly?
Yeah, I think within the poison, you finally do get to the other side, but in a way that the poison just dissolves into emptiness as we realize that it's all emptiness. Mm. Every feeling we have is empty. Our entire physical body is empty. Every thought, every feeling is empty. And it just arises, and then it passes. That's the nature of our life.
Right, right. And but my take on it is that if you're really going into it to get to the other side, then in a sense you're like that person who ran through the poison.
Right. It's okay. We're all okay, and
uh-huh.
we need to do whatever we need to do.
Yes.
But to really find the direct path, as they would say in the mm-hmm. traditional study of Tantra, it's the direct path because you go into the center of the poison.
Right.
And you stay there until you break through and the poison dissolves.
Mm-hmm. So if we are taking this Tantra approach, how do we apply it, say, within the construct of a relationship?
Right. Every minute of our lives is our spiritual path, so it certainly is true of relationship mm-hmm. as a spiritual path. So it becomes, a relationship is a wonderful meditation, and we look at oh, is there a lot of frustration arising in our relationship? What's that about?
Mm-hmm.
We examine that. We look at that. There's many different ways to deal with everything, just as there are many different people.
Uh-huh.
And we all need to find our own way. Even if we stay within some real traditional path, we still will find our own unique way because we're all totally unique. So I know one powerful thing for me in relationship I talk about a lot in the book is taking the traditional path of chanting mantras. They chanted mantras over and over, like Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. They even had prayer beads similar to what the Catholic Church does, where they're doing Hail Marys. They did prayer beads. So you'd do 108 Om Mani Padme Hum, or 108,000 of them even. And what do those words mean? They mean, Mani means the jewel of bliss, sort of. Padme is the lotus of consciousness. What they're chanting is, I am bliss. In the center of my consciousness, I am bliss. It's sort of a translation of it.
Uh-huh.
Where there's a jewel of bliss in the lotus of consciousness. Well, taking those words and repeating them has a powerful healing effect on your body and on everything else, including your relationships. So in adapting it for the West, that's where I discovered affirmations. Oh, that's what affirmations are. Words we repeat over and over and over. So for every area of my life, I've found affirmations that really work for me. It's an individual thing. Again, we need to find our own words. But for me, and what I found in relationship that really works well is, my relationship is filled with grace, ease, and lightness. My relationship is filled with grace, ease, and lightness. My relationship brings me grace, ease, and lightness.
You know, Mark, we're going to be going to another quick break, but when we return, I'm going to want your perspective on about affirmations and what happens when we're not aligned with what we're saying, because I think that you make some important points in the book, and I want to share a story as well. But we'll get more into affirmations and Tantra for the West with Mark Allen in a few moments.
Each month, listen to Live More Radio with co-host Ali Katz. Join Ali and Dr. Pat as Ali introduces new ways to bring balance back to your life through meditation, sleep, and exercise techniques so you can live your truly authentic life. Stress less, live more. To learn more about Ali, visit livemoreradio.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
What if there was no right or wrong way to be a great parent? Join Access Consciousness Facilitator Glenna Rice as she and Dr. Pat invite you to be the questionable parents you truly are and empower you to know and give the awareness required to create ease and joy with your children. Join Dr. Pat and Glenna as they focus on parenting for the modern family. Tune in every month to the Dr. Pat Show on air and online at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Mark Allen, who is the author of many books, including Tantra for the West. It's a revised edition. It's a wonderful book with insights and meditations and exercises. And anyway, you know, I love some of the things that you talk about in your book relating to affirmations. But I have to tell you, Mark, when I first learned about affirmations, this is back in the late 80s when I was working to heal myself of cancer, trying all sorts of alternative things. And, you know, at that point in time, there wasn't a lot of information out there. But Louise Hay's first book was out, and she talked about the mirror technique where you did the affirmations in front of the mirror. So I went to the bathroom mirror, you know, and went to the bathroom, looked in the mirror, and began saying these affirmations that, you know, I am completely healed, I am well, I am beautiful. I mean, all these affirmations. And as I'm staring at myself in the mirror, I knew darn well I didn't believe it. So what's important when you're doing the affirmations, do you need to be able to feel it to be true?
You know, I've heard people say, I believe you need to believe it subconsciously. Mm-hmm. I have heard people say, I heard some guy on the radio, and I missed who he was, but I just loved him. He said, your subconscious will accept anything, so keep telling it. You're brilliant. You're gorgeous. Mm-hmm. You're outrageous. You're wonderful. And I believe that might be true. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I do know in my own experience, I just played with affirmations. I had this sense. I knew what affirmations were all about. It's getting your subconscious mind to accept it. Some bright person said our subconscious mind is like an incredibly powerful five-year-old mm-hmm. who will believe whatever we tell it.
Uh-huh.
You know, a five-year-old will believe there's monsters under the bed.
Right.
It will believe that. Our subconscious will believe there's monsters under the bed, or it will believe that we're capable of creating fabulous success in the world and being totally enlightened. I find in my experience and what I've seen the many other people do over the years, mm-hmm. if you find the right wording that your subconscious can say yes to,
mm-hmm.
if you want to be a millionaire, if you affirm I am a millionaire, your subconscious mm-hmm. will say no, you're not.
Right.
But if you say I am now creating total financial success, that's what worked for me to say, I am now creating. When I hit my financial low,
uh-huh.
and I really looked at all the anxiety I was feeling, I realized my deep beliefs, I really believed I was a fool with money, I was out of control.
Uh-huh.
That's how I summed up my deep beliefs. So I found an affirmation that just directly contradicted that, and I started saying, I am sensible and in control of my finances.
Uh-huh.
I am creating total financial success in an easy and relaxed manner, a healthy and positive way. That's what I came up with when I was about 35 years old.
Uh-huh.
I said it about 2,000 times over the next 6 months, and my life completely changed financially.
So how did it change? Tell us about your business how things shifted for you.
Yes, when I started my business, I knew nothing of business. I had just turned 30. I'd had a rock band in my 20s that had broken up.
Uh-huh.
I I had no job, no money at all, no family support the day I turned 30, and that's the day I decided to start a publishing company. Uh-huh. And for 5 years, it was this real struggle because I realized I believed I was a fool with money. I didn't understand it. I never studied it. Mm-hmm. I never took a business course. Right. It was beyond me in some way.
So you weren't worthy of being successful because you weren't well prepared.
Right. In some way, I wasn't worthy. That's a good. Then I did. I realized one day, walking along, thinking about all this, one thought that came along to me was, you know, Jesus said, "Ask and you shall receive." Uh-huh. He didn't say, "Ask and you shall receive if you deserve it."
Yes.
Or if you're talented enough, or if you have enough money, or if you're smart enough, or lucky enough, or anything. He said, ask and you shall receive. That was a breakthrough. Another breakthrough was when I got that affirmation. I realized I was telling myself I was a fool with money. So, of course, I'd spend.
Right.
Well, I started telling myself whenever those thoughts came up, no, I am sensible and in control of my finances. Well, this shift happened. First, it was mentally. I remember it vividly where suddenly money got very easy and clear. It wasn't this whole confusing world of high finance anymore. Mm-hmm. It was very simple. I just needed to make more money than I was spending.
Uh-huh.
This was not complicated,
right,
involving no higher math, you know. It was very, money became very simple, and the financial side of the business became very simple. You just need to keep your costs down and get your sales up until the sales, until you make a profit. This is very simple stuff. And it got simple for me first mentally, and then I was able to implement it in the world. And then once I got clear, then the very perfect financial person came along for me. Uh-huh. She's been with me, I think, 37 years now or something.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And she came along and really showed me about financial controls and helped me become profitable very quickly.
Right. And New World Library is the largest independent publisher, right?
Well, it's up there. It's one of the largest. Uh-huh. There's other good ones, too. Hay House is, I love Hay House.
Oh, I do, too. Yes.
Yeah.
And
there's some other.
I was amazed, though, when I was looking at newworldlibrary.com, looking at all your authors, it's like, first of all, I've already interviewed several of them, and, you know, all wonderful. But there are tons and tons of books and authors on your website, which means you've got to be gosh darn successful.
We're doing great. We're doing great. It was all meant to be, that's for sure. Uh-huh. I just virtually self-published 3 books. I didn't know what I was doing. And then my girlfriend at the time was Shakti Gawain, and she wrote Creative Visualization.
Right.
That was the 4th thing we published. And that just started selling like crazy, word of mouth. We never sent out a review copy.
Uh-huh.
I don't think she ever did an interview or anything.
And
at
I
first.
Went and bought that book, yes. That was really important to me early in my journey.
Yeah, it was a word of mouth phenomenon. And then Oprah picked it up and had her on. So then it really took off, and we sold 3 million copies or so. And that really helped launch the company.
That's great. That's great. So This concept of Tantra, how does it intersect with affirmations?
I think affirmations are one of the most brilliant ways to translate that incredible wisdom of the East that I knew was very valuable and powerful for Westerners, but needed to be translated into our languages.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to know in English,
right.
And there's a tremendous tradition in India and Tibet of all this chanting.
Uh-huh.
And what is that chanting? Well, it's the awareness that words have great power.
Right.
There's another book I found in my 20s was called As a Man Thinketh.
Oh, that's a classic, yes.
Yeah, it's a classic, and for a good reason. I edited it and called it As You Think, and put it in so-called gender-neutral language. He means men as well as women, of course.
Yes.
I mean women as well as men, but as we think, our thoughts are completely affected by what we tell ourselves, of course. So mantra is a powerful tool for transformation. And affirmations, the way I see them, are just the Western equivalent of mantra. So rather than chanting Om Mani Padme Hum, I'm saying I'm sensible and in control of my finances. I'm creating total financial success. Or my relationship is filled with grace, ease, and lightness. I will repeat that as I'm walking into my front door. My family life is filled with grace, ease, and lightness.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So applying Tantra to what we think of Tantra, how does that connect to other aspects of our daily life?
Everything. I love that. Just the concept, getting the concept that everything has its outer, inner, and secret level is amazing, because you can apply it to everything, to every moment of your life. You can apply it to your work, your family, to every feeling, to every moment. Okay, here's the outer moment. I'm on the phone right now talking to you. I'm walking around my office. Okay, what's going on the inner level? Well, it's amazing stuff. I mean, I have all these amazing organs, and I'm making these sounds in my throat, and by some amazing electronics, they're going to you, and by some incredible brain chemistry, you're understanding what I'm saying. When you get into that deeply enough, it's totally miraculous.
Absolutely.
Creation is awesome and miraculous, and we're a vital part of it, and it's truly wonderful. Einstein even said that. Einstein said Buddhism is the only so-called religion that holds up scientifically, because there's nothing to believe in it. You test it in your own experience. Those were Buddha's last words. Don't accept what I say at all on belief. Test it in your own experience. And then Einstein even said, there's two ways of looking at the world. One is as if there's no miracles. Another is as if everything is a miracle. He said, I choose the latter. He became totally metaphysical in his later years.
It's fascinating. It really is.
And that's like the essence of Tantra, of this path. It is a wonderful, direct path to enlightenment. Just realizing every moment is a miracle. Life itself is a miracle, and we are life itself. We're this incredible manifestation of life. Some star exploded billions of years ago and then formed another star that exploded, and then after several explosions, finally it formed this Earth, and it formed these creatures with this DNA in every cell of our bodies. That is nothing short of miraculous, or whatever words you want to find for it. It's amazing. And so all of us we're totally amazing when we realize it.
We need to go to another quick break, but more with Mark Allen when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show. Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns in certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show. I really wish that for those of you who are watching on the monitor right now, we had had the monitor facing towards Benny because he was really getting into that music.
Oh, you know, this is good stuff.
It's
wholesome
really good
tunes
stuff.
For you and your show.
Yes. Thank you so much for playing that, Benny, because, you know, I was bopping a bit myself.
I could tell.
Yeah. So, you know, Mark, one of the things I love about your book, Tantra for the West, is that you offer concrete approaches to sort of allow us to experience Tantra and to allow us to sort of, you also got some great information about how to help us to create or manifest better. Can you share with our listeners, you know, something that you think is helpful in our daily life that we could utilize to do this?
Yes, there are practices after practices in the book, and it's like a buffet, I say to people, and just pick one. And you don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe anything. Right. But just try something with an open mind. It doesn't conflict with whatever you believe. It doesn't conflict with any religion or anything. It's perfectly compatible. But just do something. I think maybe for me, I remember looking back when I was about 15, I saw Hamlet. Uh-huh. And I remember walking out of there sort of in a state of shock, thinking, I know there is far more in heaven and earth than I dream of in my philosophy. Mm-hmm. Somehow that phrase was the universe saying, there's way more going on, and it's far more magical and wonderful and incredible than you can imagine in any philosophy or religion. Mm-hmm. And somehow reflecting on that just made me in my 20s open-minded in a way. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as if I had to come to believe anything. I never chose a path to where I had to come to say, I believe in this and that. And that. No. Mm-hmm. But I found all these exercises you just do, and they completely affect your life. I found a healing exercise in my early 20s in this book called The Art of True Healing that healed me. It healed me. I was in horrible health when I left college. I had taken way too much crystal methadrine my last 2 years of college, which is a horrible drug.
Uh-huh.
It destroys brain cells, and it's very bad for your heart and everything. And I was in horrible health. I couldn't even walk up a flight of stairs for a while there without stopping and pausing and getting my breath. I was in very bad health. One afternoon, I couldn't get up off the floor.
Oh, my goodness.
And I realized... It's like this voice said, duh, this is bad for my health. And at that point, I found this little book with this simple little meditation. We can do it right now. You can do it in 10 seconds during your day. All it is just relaxing, taking a deep breath and relaxing,
mm-hmm.
and then imagining a healing light energy at the top of your head, the crown of your head. You can even put your hand up there and you can feel some heat uh-huh. between your hand and your head. That feel that warm energy, and then as you exhale, just feel it slowly move down and fill your entire head with warm, healing, vibrant energy, healing everything. And then just keep breathing slow and deep and feel it fill your throat, healing, warming. Then feel it fill your lungs and heart with healing, warm, expansive energy. Take a deep breath into your heart. And then feel it move down. Fill all your stomach, all your organs, your 30 feet of colon or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
Feel it fill all that. Then feel it move down. Fill all your sexual organs, your pelvic area. And then feel it just slowly move down and down your legs and out the floor. Then as you breathe in, you just imagine energy coming up through the floor, all through your whole body. And as you breathe out, let it shower from the top of your head over your whole body. And that's it. You just imagine healing light energy moving through your body. If you have any specific place in your body that needs healing, you just imagine sending healing energy there and breathing deeply into it,
mm-hmm.
wherever it is, your heart, your head, your throat, any area. Send healing light energy. Just doing that little exercise from the Art of True Healing when I was 21, 22 years old uh-huh. and in terrible health, I felt incredible results. I did it for maybe 20 minutes at first or something.
Uh-huh.
And then I remember getting up, and I felt lighter. I felt healed.
Yeah.
I realized, oh, of course, the mind and body are completely connected,
right.
and the mind has great healing power
uh-huh.
if you focus on it.
Right.
We have an incredible healing system in our bodies.
We do.
As long as we don't block it.
And it's funny, Mark, because I, too, used the image of light when I was working to heal myself of that early stages of that lymphoma years ago. And, you know, at that point, people were talking about things like, oh, you know, imagine something destroying the cells. It's like, no, I couldn't bring myself to that. And so I sort of naturally turned to light. And now as an energy healer, it makes perfect sense because when we have issues, when we have problems, it's like, kind of like there's a blockage to the flow of light. So that makes perfect sense to me on a logical, rational perspective now that that is such a healing thing to do. And
yes.
So, but it sounds like an amazing healing for you because you went from somebody who was in such bad health as a young man to living
yeah.
a long, vibrant, and very productive life.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been, knock on wood, I've been perfectly healthy ever since I started that meditation.
Wow.
Perfectly healthy.
That's great.
I'm 69 now, but I keep telling my subconscious I'm 34 and a half. I've divided my age in half.
So my
last birthday, I said, no, I'm not 69. So that's not a real birthday because uh-huh. I'm 34 and a half.
Right.
So I'm going to be 35 next summer.
I've been 38 for a really long time. Not because I won't tell people what year I was born in. It's because I want to keep telling my body that I'm 38.
Yes.
So you're
yes.
younger than I am, Mark.
Too. Me too. Yeah, I'm younger than you are. I'm 34.
Okay. Oh, well, you know, this hour has flown by, and it's been a joy to have you here, Mark, and I thank you. And again, this book is called Tantra for the West. And Mark, could you share with our listeners your website?
Yes, markallen.com, MARCALLEN.com. There's a bunch of interviews and audios and videos. You can get a lot of my teachings there. Yeah. And newworldlibrary.com is my publishing company. You can check out all kinds of wonderful books.
Right. There are so many books and so many authors, and a lot of them look really fascinating, the ones that I haven't read. So I want to thank you, Mark, for joining us here today and for bringing this information to the West.
Well, thank you, Christine, for your wonderful show. I love your show.
Oh, thank you. And listeners, I wanted to just make a couple of announcements. First of all, the open house at Serenity Bliss, which is where I'm doing sessions now, has been changed to October 8th. Also want to mention I'm doing a practitioner training seminar for the 111 and 222 activations in October. That stuff's on my website. And also want to mention that I'm going to be presenting at the Women of Wisdom Conference in February. I've been invited to speak there and talk about the vibration of change. Anyway, thanks so much for joining us here today, and I will talk to you again soon.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.